Travis hated political posturing. Burgundy was running through the standard welcome routine, thanking Travis for his service to the crown and emphasizing the importance of the testimony he was about to give. Listening with half an ear, Travis let his gaze drift over the line of men and women arrayed against him, his eyes and brain automatically running threat assessments. The Chancellor of the Exchequer, Anderson Lestrange, Earl Breakwater, was clearly out for blood. Not specifically because it was Commodore Heisman on the hot seat. Travis doubted the Chancellor even knew Heisman. But because anything that besmirched the Navy's reputation could only put his own Manticoran Patrol and Rescue Service in a better light. MPARS's contribution to the battle had been minimal, mainly because only two of its ships had been in position to help. Still, those two ships had acquitted themselves well. But Breakwater was never satisfied with the simple gathering of laurels. He much preferred gathering his laurels with one hand and wilting those of his political opponents with the other. The embodiment of that opposition, Minister of Defense James Mantegna, Earl Dapplelake, would of course be pulling the opposite direction for similar but reverse reasons. The Navy had suffered huge losses in the battle, and Dapplelake had no intention of letting any more of the Star Kingdom's limited shipyard and manpower resources be siphoned off to MPARS than was absolutely necessary. The two men's political, economic, and philosophic rivalry had been going on for a long time, the entire 14 T years that Travis had been in the Navy, at least, and probably longer. Most of the committee members had also been in various positions of power for much of that time, and they'd long since sorted out which team they preferred to kick for. Secretary of Bioscience Lisa Tufele, Baroness Coldwater, and Shipyard Supervisor John Garner, Baron Low Deli, typically lined up behind Dapplelake. Low Deli because his family and Dapplelake's were friends. Coldwater because boosts to Navy funding often meant more money for her budget as well. First Lord of Law Deborah Scannabecchi, Duchess New Bern, and Director of Belt Mining Carolyn Jomper tended to vote with Breakwater. New Bern because she was a big believer in legal balance and thought the Navy threw its weight around too much. Jomper because the more patrol ships MPARS put into her area of responsibility, the better. Secretary of Industry Julian Mulholland, Baron Harwich, and Foreign Secretary Susan Tarleton didn't favor either side. Harwich because all shipbuilding projects made him happy. Tarleton because Foreign Secretary was largely an honorary position, and no one ever paid much attention to her anyway. As for Prime Minister Burgundy himself, who had assumed chair of the committee, he would be trying hard to stay neutral. But as a close ally and personal friend of King Edward, Travis had no doubt that his judgment would at least be somewhat skewed. Which direction that bias might run, though, was a question all its own. In public, the king had studiously avoided saying anything beyond the simple acknowledgement of his son's death, with no judgment or recriminations. What he said in private was something Travis doubted more than a handful of people knew.
"Let's start with the basics, Lieutenant," Burgundy said. "Where were you when it first became apparent that the distress call you were responding to was, in fact, an invasion?"
"That recognition was more an ongoing process than the result of a single bit of data or insight, Your Grace," Travis said. "But to answer your question, I was on Casey's Bridge during the entire time in question."
"I see,"
Burgundy said, and Travis thought he could see a flicker of approval in the Prime Minister's eyes. It was all too easy to second-guess decisions and actions after the fact, but matters were seldom obvious to those in the middle of a given situation. Travis's reshaping of the question should help to underscore that reality for the rest of the committee.
"When it did become evident, or at least likely, that an invasion was underway, what was Commodore Heisman's response?"
"We're particularly interested in his deployment of his four Janus Force ships," Breakwater put in. "Why was Gorgon put into aft relay position instead of the Crown Prince's ship, Hercules?"
For a moment, Travis was sorely tempted to play out a little rope in the hope that Breakwater would manage to hang himself somewhere down the line, but he resisted the urge. Breakwater was a master manipulator and politician, and if Travis tried to play any games, the Chancellor would have him for breakfast. The truth, as straightforward and open as possible, was his best bet.
"Hercules was a corvette, my lord," he said. "Gorgon was a destroyer."